Amen. I'd like to welcome each of you this morning and just let you know I'm thankful that you're here. And any visitors that might be with us, please just make yourself at home. And again, just thankful to see everyone and a good number here this morning. And just appreciate each and every one of you and all that we're doing, getting things ready for the shoeboxes and all those kind of things. It's just neat to see that and getting ready for the Christmas program and all those things. And I do have a special object of prayer that Brother John had mentioned to me, the T.J. Jackson family. Brother T.J.'s in hospice now, and their family's requesting prayers, so I did want to make mention of that to you this morning, just requesting prayers there. And you know, Tuesday coming up is Veterans Day, am I right? 11-11, isn't that right? And so what I'd like to do at this time, if you are a veteran, if you've served for our country, would you please stand up for me just for a second? I won't try to hold you long. Amen. 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 I just want to tell you thank you. I appreciate you. Appreciate all you've done for our country. Amen. I tell you what, I appreciate those who are willing to take a stand for our country and what it means, the freedoms that we have. I know we face a lot of trials and things in this nation and see a lot of thing and upheaval a lot of times, but I do want you to know I appreciate you and I'm thankful for you. And it's kind of where my heart's at this morning. If you'd like to, be turning to Matthew chapter number 8. I kind of want to talk about a veteran that we find in the Bible here. And this morning I simply want to preach on the topic of veteran of faith. Veteran of faith. And I think you'll see that kind of ties things together really well for us. And, you know, you look at the word veteran, that means having been long exercised in anything. So you can be a veteran in a lot of different things. Things that you spend your time doing and things that you learn and you grow in. It's kind of what you become and what you know. And I look at it this way, although I haven't served in the military, I did serve for several years in law enforcement, and I got to meet a whole lot of military people. And I tell you, the mindset's a lot different. I've heard it referred to as type A personalities for some people, some who want to be take charge and what have you. But I've seen it in a couple of different ways. I've seen those who wanted to take charge, and some of those who needed charging. Somebody you had to kind of, Brother Tim, show them the ropes, you know, show them where to be and what have you. But what I enjoyed as a young officer when I first started out is getting to know some of these older officers. Because if they'd been there for a while, evidently they knew how to do something. They probably still wouldn't have been there. You know, I know you know that and see that and everything. Brother Ben, too, having a background in law enforcement also. And, I mean, you see those things, you learn it, and there's some that, I learned this, there's some that carried no rank, but I would follow them, I would have followed them into any kind of situation just because of how they carried themselves, what they knew. It didn't matter, some folks were, you know, kind of drawn to the bars, to the stripes, you know, they wanted to get built up and what have you and kind of build themselves up and move through the ranks and have a position of authority, but those who were leaders and didn't know it, so to speak, I tell you, they were very special. That's the ones you could follow. That's the ones that you could trust. And even though there were some had the stars and the stripes and everything, it's like, I just don't know if I should follow them or not. If you've worked in law enforcement at all or military, I'd say you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. But today we're going to get to see something special about a centurion, a special fella here in the Bible, because in my mind, when I think of centurions, I think of Romans. And when I think of Romans, I think of people who were against God. I think of people who crucified our Lord. But you know, it was all our sin that crucified him. You can't just blame that on the Romans and what have you. They were the ones in charge at that time as far as the military and what have you. But I see something very interesting here. And maybe you're familiar with this scripture, but I hope it'll be a help to us this morning. But again, the topic, the thought of a veteran in faith and how we need veterans of the faith this morning, this day and time more than ever. And again, you look at that definition, that means having been long exercised in anything. And that means what we're seeing here, although he was long exercised in being in the military, we need people long exercised in the faith, being faithful, having faith, and not wavering on that. And I trust with the help of the Lord this morning, he'll bring this out and it'll be a help to us. But we look at, again, Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 5, and it says here, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, just thankful for this day that you've given to us, and just thankful for all your blessings and provision. It's just amazing, Lord, to see so many things in your word and how it speaks to us, what it teaches us. And God, I just thank you for the measure of faith that you've given to me, that you've given to each person. Lord, I believe it's up to us what we do with that and how we live that faith out, God. But I'm thankful that I know you and who my faith is in. And God, I pray that you help us here today. Help each heart. I know there's battles that's going on in people's lives and just many different things that we have no control over, God. But you have control over every aspect of our life, everything. You have control of this creation. And God, I'm thankful that I know that this morning. And God, I pray that you use that and you help us to see that and understand that. God, I pray for those that are lost this morning and their need is of salvation. God, I pray that you help them to see that, Lord. Just convict hearts today. And God, I just pray that our faith be increased in you, and not just the thought of faith, but the knowing of who the faith is in. That's the important part, God. And I pray that you help us to see that today. Just, Lord, take us from where we are, transform us into who you want us to be and what you'd have for us to do for you and your kingdom, God. Help us today, Lord. We love you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So I find a lot of things, and I know I won't hit on everything this morning that these scriptures have to say, but it really has touched my heart in looking at it and just trying to gain a better understanding, because you know here, this is early on in the Gospels, and the Lord had gone out to the people of his house, his people, but when you see this person, you see somebody having faith that is a Gentile. And this is early on when you look at it. The Lord himself said, go into my house first, go into the Jews first, and go to them, witnessing to them, telling them of the gospel and what Jesus was going to do for them. And then what you see here is a Gentile actually putting his faith and confidence in the Lord this early on. And that speaks a lot to me. That should speak to us this morning, thinking, you know, he included us. We're included in this. If you go back to the beginning here, verse number 5, it says, when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him. He needed some help, and he knew where to go. He had seen enough in what had taken place that he had faith and confidence in the Lord. Are you saying he's a saved man? I believe he'd accepted Christ. I do. Just based off of the fact that he came to him seeking him, but the way he showed his faith speaks volumes. You know, there's two times I find in the Gospels where Jesus marveled at somebody. The other time when you read it, it said he marveled at their unbelief. Yeah, that there was no more belief in some people than what they had shown. They was like, my goodness, there's hardly anything here to even show. I marveled. I'm wondering at why it's just so little faith. But now when you see this mentioned in this, the way it's mentioned here, you see the way that it's being said that he marveled because of his faith, that nobody else in Israel, he had not even seen anything like this in all of Israel. And I thought, how interesting is that? You see somebody here and it's not even a Jewish person, it's not even an Israelite, but it's a Gentile. And he went to the Lord. He had a problem. He had an issue. Sometimes we think that we live right, we live good, we do good. Things don't happen, but they do. Bad things, hard things happen to every single one of us. And this is a situation here where he had a servant who was sick. And he went to the Lord and he said, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And you look at the word palsy, that means paralyzed. You know, you see that a few times in the Bible here, and I've noticed it and seen it, and I've thought about this. You know, I've said it before. I'm a very claustrophobic type of person. If I get in a place where I can't move, where I'm confined, I don't like how that feels. Now, you look at a person here that's paralyzed, he can't move, has no movement. That would be a tormenting thing for me. He was confined. He wasn't able to move and get around. But you see here, the centurion, he cared about his servant. He cared about him. And just the fact that he went to the Lord, he just came to him and went to the Lord, and Jesus' response quickly, he said, he saith unto him, I will come and I'll heal him. Just simply because you asked me, I will come and I'll do this. He didn't have to do a lot of things, say a lot of things, show a lot of things. He just asked him, and the Lord simply said that he would come and do this. I want to give you a little background, though. Some interesting facts about this centurion. He was a good man. He was a good person in that that what he did, he had actually stood for the Jewish people. He actually, if you look over in Luke chapter number 7, he helped them build a synagogue. This is somebody that was probably, well, you look at the Roman political side of things, probably in opposition of what you'd see with the Jewish nation. But this was a good person who tried to help the Jewish people. He did things for him. He put his efforts where his mouth was. He didn't just say one thing and do another. He helped them. And they knew this of him. And they actually, if you look in Luke, they actually went to the Lord and said, listen, this man needs some help. He's asking help for his servant. He needs some help. Can you please help him? Is there any way that you can do something for him? And because he's been awful good to us. One thing you're going to see about this centurion is he's a very humble man. You know, in this day and time, it'd be easy to say or see in somebody, they say, you know, I need help, I want some help. Look at what I've done. I've done all these things for the children of Israel, and now I'm asking for some help for my servant. Can you help him? See, he didn't do that. He didn't approach it that way. He didn't try to justify anything he thought he had done. He just came across the Lord as being very humble. You remember the publican who just, he beat his chest and he said, have mercy on me, a sinner. See, the Lord takes note of people like that. We're not worthy people. We're very unworthy, but we know the one who is worthy. And the more that we place ourselves in our position, the more the Lord is in his position. He wants us to recognize that. You see here, it talks a lot about authority in these next few verses. You look at verses 8 and 9 together. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He said, I'm not worthy for you to even come to my house. I'm nobody special. How often do we approach the Lord in prayer that way? And maybe we do. We should. Lord, I know I'm not worthy to ask of anything. Lord, I know that I'm not deserving anything, but of anything. But you know what I do like to say? But Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm one of your children. I belong to you. I claim you. I need you. I need more from you. But his faith, the way that he is talking about this here, you know, is very interesting to me. But he had an understanding of authority. And he said here, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. See, that's his understanding of what authority is. That's what he knew. I learned very early on in my career in law enforcement, if a superior is what we called them, told you to do something, you might ought to just do it. That's just kind of the way it was. We were trained. And I know it wasn't like the highway patrol. It wasn't like that of the military and things like that necessarily. I guess different training carried different kind of circumstances, but my training wasn't that strict, but we were taught to respect authority. And you were supposed to do exactly what your superiors told you to do. And they'd always tell you, if you ever question what I'm asking you to do, don't ever, on scene, ask me why. Pull me off to the side somewhere and we'll talk about it later. Don't question my authority in front of everybody. And you say, well, you know, that's not good. That's being boastful or something like that. Well, I tell you, it's important that things be done in order. All throughout the Bible, you're going to see that he's a God of order and not jumping line and doing things out of order and God just saying, that's okay, just do whatever you want to and we'll figure it out. No, he is a God of order. And see, that is something that could be seen here. That's what the Lord himself, what Jesus himself noticed in this centurion. He's saying, I'm a person of authority. Now, he didn't just say that he was the authority. You look at the word authority, that means a right to command or act. So he was kind of in the middle. And let me tell you, that's probably one of the hardest places you can find yourself to be is in the middle. Because you got people here telling you to get all these things done. But guess what? You can't do it by yourself. So you got to tell all the people that work with you, I say with under you, but I say with you, you got to get them motivated to do what they're supposed to do so it all comes together. So he understood what authority is. He understood how that worked. And so in his line of thinking, if a superior tells him to do something, you know what he does? Humbly he does it. And those things that he can't do, he asked others to do. When you look at the word centurion, it comes from the word century. You know what century means? 100. So he has over 100 people. That's a lot of people. You know, 100 people have 100 opinions, 100 personalities, 100, all these kind of things. And if there's something I learned in position of leadership or supervision is you kind of have to find a way to appeal to each person. Makes things a lot easier, Brother Tim, if you know the people. If you know them, not that you are playing any games necessarily, but you know what motivates this one or motivates that one, you can kind of have a better working relationship, and that's what you want. Unless you like trouble and chaos and drama, and then you do something else. But I don't like those things. I like things to run smoothly. But it's very interesting here because he says, I will come and see. And most of the time, if somebody wants something done, needs something done, they'll call somebody, and that somebody will say, I'll come take a look at it, see what I can do. I'll come take a look at it, see if I can fix it, what have you. But, you know, what's interesting about this is that the centurion kind of passes that up and he said, there's no need for you to even come. You don't have to come take a look at it. And I thought that's kind of interesting. Most of the time you see in the Bible when somebody was healed, even if it was an apostle or the Lord Lazarus, he come, you remember, everybody's like, why did you wait so long? Now Lazarus is dead. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. They're waiting on him to come and to respond and to take a look at things. This is a unique situation all the way around when you see how it comes together like this. And Jesus said he'd come to him and heal him. But he's saying here, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest even come to my house. I'm not even asking you to come to my house. I'm not worthy to take up this much time of yours. I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of things going on. And Lord, it's not that you come here and do necessarily some kind of ritual or some kind of thing. Lord, I know that you are more powerful than that you don't even have to do that. How often do we think of things like that? I want you to really see, it's not about just having faith. It's about knowing who God is, who Jesus is. It's not that I want Jesus to do necessarily a certain thing. It's just that I know that he is and that he can do. See, that's what the centurion was saying here. He's saying, Lord, 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 trust me. Because he called him Lord. He said, look, listen, you don't even have to come. I know who you are. You don't even have to come to my house. You don't even have to go where he's at. You see, there's something interesting about this is that the Lord is not restrained by distance. How often have you felt like the Lord feels distant from you? Have you ever felt like that before? I have. But you know, he's not. Even if he was, distance is no hindrance to him. No hindrance to him whatsoever. He's saying, but if you would just speak, he said, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy that you'd even show up and be there at my house. You know, that is a very humble statement for somebody to say that oversees that many people. A lot of times people who, when they go through the ranks, rise through the ranks, if they're not careful, their ego rises through the ranks with them. That's not a good thing. Humility looks good on everybody, and ego looks good on nobody. Think about that. Let that settle in. Now, I tell you, it's important to have confidence, and I believe you'll see that this centurion had the utmost confidence in who he was talking to. See, he wasn't worried about the distance. He wasn't worried about some kind of ritual or some kind of thing like that. He just said, "Lord, I understand how authority works. I have the right to command the men that work under me. I say, you go and do, and guess what? They go and do." That's a good thing. You got people not just standing back, why? He had the authority, but you know, at the same time, he was held under the authority that when he was told to go and do, he did the same thing. Now, when he really understanding that, you and I need to understand how authority works as well. I think we can get aside from that. Sometimes we pray for a certain thing, a certen way. If it don't happen a certain way, we think we missed it or God said no. And I'm telling you, there's so much that we don't understand and we don't know. Brother Tim, you alluded to that a little bit on Wednesday night when you talk about life and health and what we perceive as shorter life for some people than others. There's things we don't know. But I do know and understand that we all have a finish line. And if we're saved by God's grace, our goal is to get to heaven. Amen. And some people will get there before others. Amen. And I know it hurts us on this side, but that's the goal. That's the goal. Number one, being saved. And number two, knowing that that finish line equals heaven. That means eternity with Jesus Christ. But you see the centurion, he's talking here and he's saying, "Lord, but if you just speak only, my servant shall be healed." Just say it. Just say it. And that's how it works. You know, Jesus hadn't heard anything like that before. He hadn't heard it before. That's something that he marveled at. Now, I look at this. A verse was shared with me with a friend this week. Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Now, I heard it said like this morning, and I never heard it said like this. Sometimes we get so asphyxiated on faith that we think, "I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have faith." And we get so fixated on that we're not focusing on the Lord anymore. We're focusing on what we think we're doing by the power of our mind. See, we can bypass a whole lot of things here. You think about the power that God has, that Jesus has, that he can just speak it and it happens. You believe that? Look at it like this. You go back to Genesis. And how many times in the book of Genesis, there at the beginning, what does it say? "And God said," and what happened? Whatever God said happened. So that tells me God has total control over all this creation. You see, now you can say, "Well, I don't know if I believe that or not." It's the truth. It's an absolute. The Bible says it. You don't have to believe it or not. It's the truth. But we get infatuated with the idea of, "Well, I've got to have faith. I've got to have mind over matter." No, Jesus is already there. He's already there. Now, you look at things here. This is something that I find very interesting. When is the last time that you told Jesus you knew he could do it? When's the last time you said that in your prayer? I'm not saying you don't, but when is the last time? Something that really jumped out at me when I read this here. It says, "I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, see, that caught his attention. When Jesus heard it, you know, that tells me that we need to be talking to him. "Lord, I have a problem. Lord, I have an issue. Lord, I have something that I absolutely just cannot beat. I can't beat it. I can't do it." You see, that's what the centurion was saying here. He was a good person. And he had a valid issue. He had trouble. He had a problem that he couldn't solve. I believe if he could have helped his servant, he would have. But he couldn't do it. And he knew his limitations. And he knew he couldn't do it. But he said, "Lord, I know you can. And Lord, I know you can do it where you're at. Lord, I'm not even asking you to come to where I am. I know all you have to do is speak it, and it will be." And you know, the man, Jesus Christ, he heard that. And you look exactly what it said here. And Jesus heard it and he marveled. That stopped him. When's the last time we see in the other parts of the gospel that God marveled at people's unbelief? And I'm afraid that's what he marvels at us. With us, a lot of the time, is how unbelieving we can be. But when's the last time he marveled at your belief? Just the fact to say, Lord, I know who you are. I know what you can do. I know what you're capable of. If you will say it, it will be. And you know, what I've started thinking about as far as my prayer life and looking at things, it has to line up with his will. It's not that we just get what we want. But if God hears our prayer, the Lord hears our prayer, what we say, and we say it in the right accordance with his word, with what our belief in him, he has the power of all authority. He spoke all creation into existence. If you believe that, then you have some power of yourself that you can pray. And I'm being honest with you. I want you to understand that this morning. So many times we feel helpless and we get lost into that. I've heard people say, if I had more faith, my prayer would have been answered. Well, that breaks my heart. I don't know the mind of God. I don't talk to a friend, a dear friend, and how many times that he talked about the loss of his son. He said, if I'd had more faith, my son would have still been alive. And he's carrying that on himself. It wasn't the will of God. I don't know his will. I don't have the answer for all those things. I don't have answers for things like that. But I tell you what, that does not change God's power in the least. None. You think about what you're going through today, and I'm not trying to give you something fanciful, something fake. I'm trying to give you something real. This is what happened in the Bible. I can just share with you what happened to this man. That's all I can share with you. What we do with it, what I do with it, what you do with it is up to you. But when is the last time you gave, truly gave what you've got going on in your life and say, Jesus, I'm speaking it to you. What are you going to do with it? What will you do with it? I know you can. I know you can. This lost person in my life, this lost person, Lord, I've been praying for them. Lord, I know that they need you. Lord, I know that they're lost, and they probably know they're lost too. Lord, they need you. You know, Jesus can save that person. Jesus will save that person. I know that the Lord has a way of dealing with people. You keep them under the preaching, and you keep them under the presence of God, it's going to not return void, because that's a promise that Jesus himself made. It's not going to return void. You think about different health issues and things in life, and I think about that a whole lot. You listen to prayer requests and things. You think about these things that happen, and you know what? The conclusion that I've come to, you and I are not going to live forever here. But we do have a forever home there. And if you do business with the Lord here, you are promised eternal life there. That's the best offering that any one of us can have. You know, well, why didn't this person get healed? Why did this happen this way? Again, I don't know the mind of God. I don't know that. But I tell you, I know he can do whatever he says he can do. I know that. And you know, that tells me, that gets me to a place here of I just need to relay that to him more often. I need to bring my problems to him. We're bad to carry those, and I know we talk about this a whole lot, but we are bad to carry things that we shouldn't carry. You know, I have burdens, I have things going on in my life that I don't know how they're going to work out, important things. You know, everything isn't health related, everything isn't financial related. Sometimes there's just logistics going on in life. How is this going to work out? Lord, how do you want this aspect of ministry to work? How do you want this aspect of work life to work? How do you want these things to work? Again, nothing, not even talking about finances or health, but just different things that, Lord, why are we in this position? Lord, how are we going to get to a better position, the place you want us to be in? And I tell you, what we have to do is relay these things to the Lord and give it to him in trust. It says again, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And again, what really stands out to me, Brother Allen, this was a Gentile. It wasn't even Israelite. You know, I would have thought, well, you know, maybe I've been one of his followers. You think about the disciples, what have you. But no, this was a common person. This was a working man. had his own issues, had his own problems, things he's trying to work through. But you know, he knew who Jesus is and what he is capable of. And that's what he just shared with the Lord. He said, Lord, I know all you have to do is speak it. Jesus marveled at that when he heard it. I tell you, it's important that we tell the Lord these things, that we relay our confidence to him, that what we have into him. You say, well, how do you do that? How would you want somebody to show you that they have confidence in you? You'd tell them. You'd show them. You'd live out what they're asking you to do. That's what the Bible does. It gives us these examples of how we're supposed to live our lives out. If we don't live it out, then we're not showing any faith, any confidence. You live out the Word of God, I tell you, it shows confidence in Him and how we're supposed to be. But you go on down to, I want to touch on this for just a minute. You read verses 11 and 12, and the way that it goes on down, even into 13, it says, and I say unto you that many shall come from east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about all the different ones. He's not just talking about the Jewish people anymore, by the way. He's talking about we, the Gentile people. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about those, the children of the kingdom, those who have not put their confidence in him. Just because a person is a Jewish person don't mean they're saved. It's a whosoever gospel. The whosoever is whosoever believeth in him. He's making it clear. Jesus, when he's talking about this kind of faith, I tell you, you'll see most often he brings up the gospel. And that's what he's talking about here, verse number 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, well, I like this. This is what he said unto him. Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee. Go. He said, you've asked for it. You've told me about your confidence. You've expressed your confidence in my authority and who I am. Go thy way, and as you've believed, it is done unto you. You know how often that happens to us after our prayer life? I want you to think about this. As you have believed, and you go away, you think, well, the Lord didn't answer like this. He didn't answer like that. No, he answered as you believed. You ever thought about that? Isn't that interesting? It's amazing how much you can learn and see from the Word of God. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same self hour, the same time he got what he asked for. Isn't that something? I want to encourage you this morning. I just want you to think about that. I'm going to close here with this. But I want you to think about your prayer life and who Jesus is. I think we can get away from that so much. I get overwhelmed with things. I think about the moving parts so much. And if you're like me and Brandy, like what we'll do is we'll talk about things. And 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 we'll come to the same conclusion most every single time. And that is, we're just going to have to wait and see what the Lord's going to do with it. Or we jump in and we do something that might not be what he wants us to do. But if you really think about whatever it is, and I want you to do this morning, I really do. The Lord knows your heart, what you're facing, and I promise you, I want to help you this morning. What we need more than anything in this nation is veterans of faith. That's what we need. People who's been around God long enough to know what he's capable of doing and displaying that to other people. Because if I'm not careful, what I'll display is worrying and anxiety. And how's this going to work out? How's this going to work out? If you've got a pure, open heart before the Lord, you don't have unconfessed sin that you're holding on to, and you ask the Lord to handle the situation, I have full confidence in my heart, based on the authority of the Word of God, that he's going to handle it. That's where I stand on things. There's things that it could go this way, it could go that way. Well, I can't control other people, but God can control the outcome that he wants. God is still in control. I want you to see that, know that this morning. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask Sister Alice, if she will, to come to the piano. Every head bowed, every eye.